Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you have given us your word, whereby we might be sanctified by the truth of it, revealed and vindicated, knowing, Lord, that your presence did not sanctify a people. Many people thought it did, but it was your word, Lord, that actually did it. You being in your word now today have given us a double seal. We are sanctified by your word, even as your own Son said when he was here on earth in the Garden of Gethsemane. And now again in the days of the Son of Man, we have the same great privilege of being sanctified doubly by the word, which if we receive, we know then we're sanctified by you, and we'll be vessels that can go with you. For you said, where I am, there you may be also. But we know that those who turn down the word cannot have that promise. So we praise you for your word today, Lord, and we just believe it as the prophet gave it, even as the Bible. We know that this has been vindicated for this hour. We appreciate it. Help us in our studies. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 25 of the message that Brother Branham preached, Shalom. And we're nearing the end of this message, which was God's Peace, or as he entitled it from the Hebrew, Shalom, with only 3 pages left to read and to discuss shortly. But before we read them, it might be well to go on over some of the thoughts contained in the message. Number one, it is a New Year's message. However, it is not such a message that it deals with the year ahead, which was 1964, or this year, 1989, but it is dealing with a new era that eventually encompasses the millennium and the new heavens and earth, but at the same time dwells on the interim period we are in until the resurrection and rapture take place, which will lead us directly into eternity and all that eternity means. So, and Brother Branham is speaking of the new era. And he mentions the millennium. And he mentions the coming eternity of the new heavens and the new earth. He absolutely is including, because he has to, he has made God's peace a present day offering to us. He has to include this interim period, which is the major period as far as you and I are concerned, because once we reach the resurrection and see the dead come out of the ground, that's just a figure of speech, we know that we are a part of the rapture, and from that point on, why, there isn't anything to even think about. Because we'll be under the absolute guidance of Almighty God in perfection. So the proffering of peace is in the interim period where it means so much, and we have to know about this peace, where it comes from, how to get it, to obtain it, and to let it be in our lives. Number two, it is in this interim period, which is one of intensely focused light, and terribly concentrated and pervasive gross darkness that God's prophet declares God's peace is now available because the days of the Son of Man, the day star arisen, God amongst us vindicating his word, his kingdom in our midst has all come, which is indicative of the great separation under the rapture, for healing is in his wings at this present time, and going on, and the burning oven that leaves neither root nor branch of Malachi 4:1-6. Now let me go over that again. It's in this interim period of light and darkness, and the light is concentrated as it has never been before, even though you may go back in your minds and you may believe that the great concentration of light came to Israel and thence to us through the Apostle Paul. God manifesting himself in the form of human flesh. And I believe that we, most of us believe that, and the faith is wrong in believing it. Even as Israel missed Jesus because they looked back upon Moses. Now, categorically, Brother Branham said, John 14 and 12, greater works than this shall ye do, was performed by one person. So therefore, Brother Branham said that he had more success in my ministry, in my life, than he had in his own. And you will notice that at this time, as the light travels from the east to the west, this is part of the epiphany or the epiphaneia, where we speak of the epiphany of a person, which is like a zenith of his light and his power, where he actually comes into his own. And this is according to Matthew, the 12th chapter, the time of Jesus coming back in the form of the Holy Ghost, doing what he did in his flesh when he was upon earth here, but even more so. So, we are looking at then an intensely focused light, concentrated light in this hour. And at the same time, there is a pervasive and concentrated darkness as there never was before. And it is this time that Brother Branham, through the authority of God, declares peace to us. And we believe it, knowing it is given on the grounds of the vindication of the days of the Son of Man, the day star arisen, which is God amongst us, vindicating his word, his kingdom in our midst, according to Luke 17 and 20, these have all come and are indicative of the great separation of the world through the Word, the sanctifying power of the Word, not through the presence of God. The presence of God, if that were what was right, in the sense of the sanctifying power, then the whole world would be saved, because he's here to the whole world. But it's the Word that sanctifies, the Omega of the Alpha, of the ministry of Jesus when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. All right, we see that then, and at this time then, with healing in his wings, which is the rapture about to take place, which in turn leaves the burning that leaves neither root nor branch. And that's over here in the book of Malachi, the last chapter, of course, verses 4 to 6, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall neither leave them root nor branch. In other words, it's the extermination of the human race as we know it, going right to the great lake of fire, where they are finally annihilated. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and drop as calves of the stall. Now, how does that fit to this day? Because it's in the name of Jesus the Gentiles trust. It is a name that Brother Branham brought with him. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he issued forth the proclamation that that was a name you're baptized in. Oneness, a true oneness of the Godhead. Not Jesus only now, but a true oneness of the Godhead. And the people did not fear that Brother Branham had thus saith the Lord, and that people died by coming against his literal ministry. Only those that fear the name of the Lord will have any opportunity whatsoever, and that leaves out all the Trinitarians. That's understanding. And it says, you shall tread down the wicked, those that fear his name, yea, there shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day I do this, saith the Lord. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with statutes and judgment. And this speaks of grace, because Horeb was the mount of blessing and of grace. It was not the mount of law and of cursing. Now remember, right in here, between the curse, there is a blessing, and watch how the blessing comes. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. The reason I left out the first part is because that's already happened. Now notice, Revelation 22:10-14 now cancels Revelation 10 and 4, from the midst of Revelation 10:1-7. Here then is that shalom as spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. So let's go to Revelation chapter 22 and begin at verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, be filthy still. He that is righteous will be righteous still. He that is holy will be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. Now remember, this is the present speaking of the literal second coming. I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work should be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. All right, you notice then that the tree of life will be the gates that open to the city. Now, for without are dogs, male prostitutes, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, I said that that cancels Revelation 10 and 4. For Revelation 10 and 4 is in the midst of Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Let's look at it. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head. His face, as it were, the sun. His feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea, left upon earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. That, of course, is Amos, the prophet. So, Brother Branham said, God's his own prophet. And the one that comes down then is acting as a prophet. But he has to have someone to act through, which is Revelation 10 and 7. For the seven thunders uttered their voices. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things with the seven thunders. I didn't write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea, upon the lift his hand, heaven, and swear of him, lives forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared the good news of his gospel by his servants, the prophets. That's a literal translation. All right, you'll notice in there, seal up the seven thunders. That has been canceled by Revelation 22:10-14, bringing to pass 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. What time? When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. There it is right on that picture. In flaming fire, taking vengeance, discerning and making a difference, passing judgment and exoneration. So I believe he just comes down and this is fire let loose in the great tribulation. You believe what you want, you're wrong. There never was a time when God did not bring both the blessing and the cursing. Always being a just God, he set before them the open door, as I have set before you an open door, blessing and cursing, take your pick, of law or grace or works or faith. Now, if you think you can sit here and tell me this just means cursing, I've got news for you. You're not even born again. You say, Brother Vale, you're arrogant. No, you're stupid. Read your Bibles. Listen, don't believe me, read your Bibles. You find me. You said this is end time. I read Malachi end time. Tell me when the fire comes. After the good prophet of God leaves. So blessing and cursing, right? Is this any different? It's no different. I'm not being mean, but I feel somebody needed that jar this morning, a joke. Just to let you don't know what you think you know. You better listen to the prophet, Alpha and Omega. He's never changed. Flames of fire taking judgment on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells you should be punished with everlasting destruction, neither root nor branch, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall come. to be glorified in these things. So there you are. Before Sodom was burned, Abraham was glorified by the presence of God. He went right back to being a little young man with his wife. Yeah. But judgment came. So you understand something this morning. Here's what I said. He is risen with healing in his wings at the time of gross darkness, because all light has now focused, all light through the ages has focused under the seven seals and the seven thunders. For it says every mystery that's in the gospel that has been declared by the prophets, given by them, to them by God, is brought out into the open. And this one, therefore, that comes down, roars, has the roar, as it were, of a lion. Now, we know what that is. That's over here in Amos. And remember, God's always his own prophet. He cannot change. It says here in the third chapter, Amos, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people be not afraid. Shall there be evil done in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? In other words, the Lord has spoken, but who can prophesy? So, if he's coming down as a roar of a lion, it's got to come through a prophet. Just the same as it says over there in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord will descend with a shout. It categorically does not say in the Greek that the voice is the one of the one that descended. But it's the word of the one that descended. I see I'm shaking some of you. Stick around. Get rid of your creeds and your dogmas and your wrong thinking. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. It is not said to be the voice of the one descending. How does God always speak to man? Ever since the time of Moses, the die was cast and he cannot change. I don't care if God came down this morning and turned every bit of water into wine, gave every single one of us something. Except the prophet was here to tell us, you better look out. Until you are completely glorified. Because there isn't one of us that isn't cautioned in this hour of darkness to watch. Because just as sure as the light has intensified and focused to the point of burning, take a magnifying glass and let the rays of the sun come through, and you put it on any object that can be burned, that object will be burned. So with the shining light of God upon this earth. And if you haven't got the seed that takes the burn, brother, sister, you'll burn. True. Number three. From the in-depth dissertation on gross darkness of this hour, we find Brother Branham emphasizing a final total eclipse of truth, which in turn leads to a final total eclipse in spiritual and physical of all but a few bright. The concentrated light in the concentrated darkness brings about a total emphasis of the Word of God as it has never been revealed before. As Paul said, I am pressing toward the identity, the full identity of Christ, which he could not achieve. Only the end time prophet could do it. And now a bride. This light shines in this terrible darkness, causing a total eclipse. It will move out all darkness from every bride. It'll move out all light from anybody else. This total eclipse rises from the refusal of all but the bride to receive the revelation of God's own presence and truth, which truth comes through a prophet. Now remember, The foolish virgin will die for their neglect to respond to the vindication or spiritual progression. You say, what do you mean by spiritual progression? Well, I'm glad you asked the question so I can tell you. Spiritual progression is none other than the Word of God through the ages, which will go through a certain channel until it comes to the time when Israel's in the homeland. From that time on, every foolish virgin and every other person outside of the bride, and the bride's obligated to, is obligated to know where we are in history. And the Bible tells us categorically that when you see Israel back in the homeland, it's, let me read it to you. If I can find it right away, it's the 9th chapter I do believe I'm looking for. Maybe it's the 11th chapter. 11th chapter. Now listen, it says here, now let's go to 13th chapter verse. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. I like that. There's a fellow that knew what he was saying and why he was saying it, because he had an office. So he said, I'm going to nail something down to you people because I'm the one to nail it down. Yeah. I like that. Brother Branham did the same thing. All right. If any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Israel isn't dead. Israel's blind. So what's he talking about? He's talking about a resurrection. So when Israel is back in the homeland, you look for a resurrection. Then what's before the resurrection? A rapture. What's before the rapture? The appearing. What does the appearing mean? And there's where they got stuck. Because listen, you can't find it unless there's an ordained prophet of God vindicated to point it to you. That's why Brother Branham, like every other prophet in the power of God, demonstrated the signs and the wonders, the presence and the magnitude of our God, the greatness of His ministry, then turned right around and said, based on this, you listen to me. And then he would tell them exactly why God did such and such a thing, and then reveal the word of the Lord. And that's where we are today. And if you're understanding this, you are well within the message that the prophet brought. Progression. Number four. This revelation comes to us in like manner as a conductor would get into the spirit of the composer of a symphony, and through that spirit bring out the hidden but revealed real truth of the Word of God, the written score, as it says in Revelation 10 and 7. Let me repeat it. This revelation we're talking about, this concentration of light. That's why Brother Branham didn't have time to preach as much as he wanted to. He didn't have to preach the whole Bible. It was given to him to preach the whole, to sow the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former reign. So he took and he started there and took us right to it. He wasn't going to take every verse in Job and Nehemiah, Isaiah, Revelation. Why should he? He had an object to take us to show the seed of discrepancy. Right from the Garden of Eden. Why all these things took place. Why they are. And he did it. And in doing it, he brought us the full concentration of God, as I've tried to show you in message after message, the ultimate of God, which is to have a family. And that family place where God wants it. That's why at the end of the ages, after the great wedding supper, and every tear is brushed from our eyes, there will be a forgetting of every single solitary thing in this life outside of somehow redemption, just the same as you and I forgot everything that was back there when we were in Christ, having bypassed our theophonic form. Now getting back to a glorified form, we will forget everything down here. The Bible says so. You see, now that's the ultimate. We're looking at an ultimate. So I say, this revelation comes to us in like manner. Brother Branham said, as a conductor would get into the spirit of the composer of a symphony, and through that spirit bring out the hidden but real truth or meaning of the Word of God, which is the written score, you know, of Gethsemane, even as it says in Revelation 10 and 7. Now, what does it say in Revelation 10 and 7? Because Brother Branham is talking about himself. It says, in the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, finalized, completed, polished, perfect has come. As the Lord has declared the good news of his gospel through his servants, the prophets. So therefore, this is a gospel message, and it is through the prophets. And remember, to Israel, he does not have to send the gospel. He comes himself. The gospel of Elijah and Elisha, whoever they are, preach the same thing Brother Branham preached. Make no mistake. But that's when they'll say, look at his hands and say, what is going on here? All right, number five. Though the entire revelation of God is revealed by vindication, only the bride receives it. Therefore, as Brother Branham said, this message is only to the elect lady, the bride of this hour. It is a riddle to all else, as in Matthew 13:10-17. So let's go to Matthew 10:13-17. And we'll notice what it says. And it fits our day. And his disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now notice that the serpent seed in the Bible is actually a parable. It is in the sense that man cannot understand it. It is a puzzle. It is. It's a reality just the same, what the beast did. But nobody knew what the beast did. They figured it was just a bit of a temptation, something that came. Eating an apple, who knows, long as some disobedience, who cared what it was. But Brother Branham came and made the mystery known. And verse 14, and then was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Now there it is right there, two pictures on the wall. And the ministry of Brother Branham, thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Then will their hearts be turned back to the fathers? The answer is no. They can't do it. Their eyes have they closed any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should hear them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that you see but have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So therefore there comes a time when these great mysteries will be revealed to us, but they will be revealed only to the bride. Absolutely. Remember, it was only the five wise virgins that went into the bridegroom. Number six. But even though the Lord rises upon the people giving light, the darkness presses against the bride, and Brother Branham uses Psalm 62 in a warning and as a bulwark to the bride. So we go to Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. What are you going to do when word of God's coming to pass? What are you going to do in the midst of darkness and light has come? What are you going to do? All you can do is wait on God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. And as Brother Branham said so correctly, he is not a rock to anybody unless he's been revealed. Only a truly revealed God is a rock. How people fight back and forth about oneness and threeness. And Brother Branham said, why? He said, we come between the oneness and the Trinity. But he didn't make a multiplicity of gods. He preached God and his Son the same as Paul did. And why do you want to preach three? Certainly there's one God. And there's a whole race of God people. Sons and daughters of God. Now listen. I shall not be greatly moved. Why, he said, certainly I'll have some problems. You show me one person didn't get nervous waiting on God. Old Elisha, he was a great man of God, a great prophet. He had twice the miracles Elijah had. And trouble came by him one day. He couldn't get an answer from God. Why, he said, bring me a harp and get someone to play for me. Just like old Saul did. So he played on the harp and to get his soul quieted down. He still couldn't hear from God. What, he said, I hear the footsteps of that butcher coming. I know what that lousy king's going to do. But he said, let's get out of here. You think Elisha wasn't nervous? But he wasn't greatly moved. He said, nothing's going to happen to me that's going to make me leave my rock. So I may get nervous and jump up and down on it a little bit. Try to stand back and figure something out. I won't be greatly moved, he said, as I'm not going to leave it. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You should be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be in a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouths. They curse inwardly. Now, if you ever saw that happen to a man, I saw it happen to Brother Branham. Old mealy mouth duplicity and the whole bunch of them. Pentecostal frauds. All they wanted him for is to fill their churches. Get their seats filled with Trinitarians after Brother Branham came in the name of the one true God. And I know one fellow said, we'll have Brother Branham here because he can draw the crowd. From that time we'll take over. My soul, wait thou only upon God. In other words, the truly revealed God. For my expectation is from him. Why? Because he's vindicated himself as his presence. He only is my rock and salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Now watch him get stronger. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Notice what they're saying. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. As old Doc Buckman said, you get colder by degrees. To be laid in the balance, you're altogether lighter than vanity. That's your theologian that Brother Branham excoriated. Trust not in oppression. That's the Roman Catholic Church, and that's the Protestants do the same thing. And become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not thy heart upon them. Laodicea, everybody's got everything. Everybody wants everything. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God manifesting himself in power, and the prophet explaining it. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. You get peace from that. For thou rendest every man according to his work. What's his work? What's the work that God delights in? And what is the work? Cain's works were evil. Worshipping God apart from a revelation. This is for the bride. Take confidence and put your trust in the hour in darkness. Since light has come, you have a revealed God. He's not going to let you down. Brother Branham said, I, the Lord, have planted and watered it, lest any man pluck it out of my hands. Exactly the truth. Number 7, according to Brother Branham, the darkness worldwide gathers together in a world council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, of churches, headed by the Pope, making a church of its own counseling, C-O-U-N-S-E-L-L-I-N-G, thereby putting Christ out completely, categorically denying the head who is present, and taking dogma for truth, and thereby installing Satan, the God of this world, as their God. You heard I read? Want me to read again? I'll read it again. I think I heard somebody grunt, say something. So, okay, I'll read it again to you. Number 7. According to Brother Branham, the darkness worldwide gathers together in a world council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, of churches, headed by the Pope. And remember, America does it. America gets her Pope. Making a church of its own counseling. Coming together, talking it over. C-O-U-N-S-E-L-L-I-N-G. Thereby putting Christ out completely, categorically denying the head who is present. Peter said they'll deny him, deny the head, and taking dogma for truth. In other words, what they rattle their brains together and come up with, that's fine. A fellow phones me all the time.
And he can't believe Brother Branham's vindicated. Yet he reads every book and smirks at every man that tickles his intellect. And the stupid bird hasn't got enough brains to realize there's a bunch of other theologians out there that are tickling somebody else's brains with exactly opposite interpretation from the Greek and the Hebrew. I would sooner have one teensy weensy 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 weensy, God knows how weensy, vindication of one thus saith the Lord, instead of all their idiotic revelations. Brother, sister, I believe when old Luke Rader said the right thing. I think it was Luke, maybe it had been Paul, I'm not sure. I think it was Luke. One day a man came, he said, Brother Luke, he said, listen, I've got a gold mine up there in the Yukon. And he said, when that gold mine comes in, I'm going to give you $1,000,000. And Luke said, Brother, have you got a nickel? He said, yeah. He said, give me. But he said, thank you. I've got that. I'll never get a nickel out of your gold mine. That's the truth. I would sooner have a nickel's worth of vindication than $1,000,000 of the ass's heads coming together, because it's the scrapings of an ass head you're going to get. The Bible says so. We don't need it. Now, their own counseling. See? Thereby installing Satan, because they worship him. Do you realize that Eve inadvertently became a worshiper and a devotee of the devil by listening to one word off through the beast? Well, did she or did she not? Now, what about Cain? Who was he listening to? His own division of the word. Therefore, was he worshiping God? According to his own understanding he was, but according to God he wasn't, because Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for commandments the doctrines of men. Now, he didn't say that indirectly they weren't worshiping him, but he said it didn't do you any good. Why? Because their high priest was the devil himself. Well, come on. Come on. Who was the high priest to Eve when God wasn't around? Come on. Did she go to her husband? No. She went to the beast. That was her pope. The beast in the garden, the beast at the end. And don't think it ever changes. Now listen to me. Let's go to see what we're talking about, this counseling. And we're going to go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, C-O-N-S-E-L, of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now you can tell there's two sets of laws here. One which is by man, that comes from Satan, and one which is by God, which is by revelation. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, that doesn't hold good until this day. They all sought it. They all missed it. But every man's leaf withered, because the Bible said we wither and fade as a leaf. We all die. Read what Job said. So this presages, as Brother Branham correctly placed it, in this hour of Shalom, the interim of God's appearing in the form of the Holy Ghost, in a pillar of fire, with the prophet revealing himself. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff. That again is an end time prophecy. John the Baptist said, his fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge it, and gather the chaff, the wheat in the garner, but burn up the chaff. That the wind driveth away. Unasked you question. Let's be honest. How many heard that tape from Waterloo, Iowa, where you actually hear the Spirit of God like a rushing wind. To me, it was a discordant sound. Hey, somebody on somebody on the organ. Who's going to put me on the organ? Hope, you're going to get the organ? Okay. Where's Ruthie? Where's somebody? Get me somebody for the organ. We're going to stop right here. I want you to hear something, what I heard. Anybody could do it. I could do it. I don't know how to turn the thing on. What about Angela? What about you, Angela? Angela, put the baby on Grandma's knee and come running. Well, we got Angela up here. It's okay. Come on. Now, I want you to open that organ up just full blast. Right? I never thought this before till now. Always there's something new. Put her up, full blast. Get her wide open. You got the sound on her? I want you to just crash your hands on anywhere in the organ. Don't matter whether you just crash them on there. And hold it. Loud. Maybe, can you make it more discordant? Huh? Just right, hit it again. Don't hit a chord. Just crash your fingers on it. That's enough. That is a lot like when I rose to my feet to get over and literally the person who dared to do it to a pipe organ. Now, that's not a pipe organ. It couldn't sound like I heard the sound. It wasn't a pipe organ, and nobody sat at the electric organ when that sound assaulted my ears and Brother Branham's coattails flapped and it went across the audience. A wind. I'll ask you a question now. What drove the people away from the prophet? Oh, they said it was his manner. Oh, he just excoriated everybody, and he treated the women like dirt. He was a woman hater. Uh-uh. The wind blew the chaff. The wind blew the chaff and scattered the chaff. True, I was there. You weren't there, but if you don't believe me, it's fine by me. But you see, this is White Throne, and I'll meet you very shortly, brother, sister. See, I don't have a bit of problem up here because I don't lie to you. Once in a while, I get a little bit, a little disgusting because I hit things too hard. But that's all right. That's my business. I'll answer to God. All right. I want to find a verse here. It may be Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 and 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. They're not covered with the word. The inner garment is the word. Brother Branham said, bring on your holy vesture with the holy word of God standing by. How do you dress a woman with a sword? Well, you'd cut her dress off. But the sword is the word of God, so he stands there to dress the bride. He said, I believe I've been called to dress a bride. But not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. There's another picture. Let's go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, notice verse 21. Tell me, tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? Now notice, tell me and bring them near, let them take counsel together. In other words, why don't you people come together and find out if this was from God, when he begins to take you from the ancient times, the one who had the secrets before the foundation. And Brother Branham, by thus said, listen, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Brother Branham was either the most atrocious, bigoted, proud, arrogant, phony, with a phony God anybody's ever seen. For he was a servant of God with God behind him. Amen. For he stood up and he said that he revealed secrets unknown. They were from before the foundation of the world. No, he said, you people, why didn't you come together and discuss this thing and find out? You know how they're doing it now? They're taking counsel by their stupid books that the stupid Pentecostals are writing. Don't even talk about it. I wanted to read the whole chapter. I don't have time. Let's keep moving. Number 8. As Brother Branham shows us the separation of light from darkness, he is speaking of vindicated revelation as against the theology of the seminarian. And at that point, he spends a great deal of time on his own vindicated ministry, one man against all others, God using one at a time, no other in this hour. Number 9. As he completely unites God, what God? God vindicated, and the prophet. What prophet? Vindicated. And the word. What word? Revealed. Let me read it now this way. As he completely unites God, God vindicated. And the prophet vindicated. And the word revealed. And known to be a true revelation by vindication, he explains the greater works of John 14 and 20 as one of creation and categorically declares himself to be the messenger of Revelation 10 and 7 and Malachi 3 and 6 to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He again warns us of the darkness and its pressure with the antidote of trusting in God as we read in Psalm 62. This leaves us one conclusion. The principle of vindication is the only antidote for Luke 18, 1 to 8. Let's go to Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. You're right now to 2 Thessalonians, first chapter. And he would not for a while rest with us until the right time. But afterward he said within myself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now he said, if you can understand what is being said, the widow and the judge and what the judge did, then understand this. And shall not God, the great just judge, avenge his own elect? Huh? Which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you that he will avenge us speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, it tells you right there, nevertheless, though God is going to judge his own, at the time of the coming of the Son of Man, the appearing, will there be that faith that is requisite? And the answer is no. There won't be rapturing faith. He comes in order to give rapturing faith so that no matter how much you pray or I pray or anybody prays and continually, day and night, without ceasing, crying against sin, proving you got the Holy Ghost, but the great angel comes by and puts the inkhorn mark on you. Here's one crying against sin. You cannot have rapturing faith until he descends with the shout to give it in. You can't have it. It is just that simple. That is Luke. I beg your pardon. That is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 10. Number 10. After much time spent on his vindication through the presence of God, he rhetorically asked the question, how does one get this shalom? Now, evidently, the prophet has already come into it, and he advises us that as a conductor gets into the spirit of the composer, by the spirit of the composer getting into the conductor, so must we do as he did. Now then, to receive the interpretation of the score as revealed by the spirit of the composer through the prophet is to get into the spirit, because the words of the score are spirit filled, and we, as we accept word upon word, are also spirit filled and come to the same place of the prophet. For every channel to the soul is filled with revealed word, and we by it rise and shine for and from the glory that has come. Shalom. In other words, rapturing faith comes at the time of the opening of the seven seals, because before his departure, Brother Branham said, you have every single thing you need under the seven seals to put you in the rapture. Want me to read it again for you? All right. Sure I got the right page. After much time spent on his vindication through the presence of God, he rhetorically asked the question, how does one get this shalom? Evidently, the prophet has already come in, and he advises us to get in the spirit of the conductor, which would rather get in the spirit of the composer, which he already has. Now then, to receive the interpretation of the score. In other words, to take it to heart and believe what the prophet said, because you got a glimmer of light concerning vindication. This man has got to be right. What do? You take everything the prophet said, pile it word upon word, until you're plumb full of the Holy Ghost with every channel to the soul plugged. And then what comes forth must be the life of the word, which will work upon your mortal cells right now and put you into immortality. Number 11, from this point, Brother Branham, true to Psalm 62 and its warning, narrates the trials of Abraham who stood true to God. What trials are we going to have? I don't know. He speaks of his own trials, his wife dying, his baby dying, all these things. And yet he went on through those trials to receive the final revelation of the word and determined to preach it and live by it until he died, which he did. So must we be dedicated to vindication, which guarantees the light whereby we rise and shine, and whereby the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. Now remember, with healing in his wings, S-U-N, he said was immortality. Brother Branham said, oh, what a mistake I would have made today, except the Holy Spirit swept into the room. At the end of the series, he said, Charlie, did you get that? What it was? He said it was them angels. So therefore, those angels, which were literal embodiments of the Holy Ghost, the one and same Holy Ghost, made seven appearances to Brother Branham, and it had wings. So what rose in that room of darkness with the blinds closed and the light on? He didn't go in total darkness. What came in that room? The Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Immortality is our portion in this hour. And do not think that it is not, because it is. Number 11. As he closes in the final pages we are about to read, he points to us. Points us to the very Bible, the very word that God has vindicated to us through him, and he seems to be saying, here is the light. It is in the Bible, and it comes from the Bible by the vindication of God. Now, I want you to remember something. Remember, Brother Branham had a vision in which there were two climaxes. Two climaxes. He was preaching out there, and the people got very tired and very hungry as the sun began to go down. The shadows were lengthening. So they all left him. And he said, wait, don't go. You have just heard one climax. There is a second climax coming. But he knew even though they didn't listen, they would be back. What was the first climax? The pillar of fire writing on the walls of the church concerning the church ages. What was the second climax? The second climax he already told you in many, many sermons, blasphemous names. There's three or four I've got written down at home. When he serves what is the time was another one. Different, two or three more sermons. In there he says concerning his vision and the thunderous shaking of his body, he said, which would kill a man. He said, is this visitation the second climax? Now, let me tell you something. I was with Brother Branham in 1958 for the year. We never actually separated, but our ministries did not seem to go together. We had our differences. One thing was a test course on personality, because I will grab something quicker than he will. Where he believes you go ahead and let a man do what he wants, mess up your meeting. Like he let this certain preacher with him, he was defiling women. He just let him defile women, not leave hell. You're going to be crooked. I'm going to call your attention to it. Well, we didn't get along too good on those points, because I didn't understand Brother Branham. If the world wants to go to hell, let them go to hell. You're surrounded by believers, make believers unbelievers. What are you going to do? Try to convert the make believer? Try to convert the unbeliever? Come on, who are you kidding? See, let them just do what they're going to do, and they hope, and they heap up their miseries to the end time. I was going to stop them getting those miseries. So we had a personality clash. That's where it was. But we always got along good. I'd visit him. Always, it seemed, I just knew when he was home and when to go, and have a great time. Back in 1962, I came back because I knew I wanted to know what he knew. And he said, Seeley, I knew you'd be back because you're seed. The second climax is this. Can you take that? Can you take angelic visitation? Do you know the seals are thus set the Lord? Or are some of you still sitting here trying to put a new patch on an old garment? Oh, I know. For your own good, it's up to you. I don't know what it's going to be. Now, let me tell you something. The human body has four rings of light, I believe Brother Branham said. He correctly said that your body's made up of cosmic light. Scientists have just found that out. He correctly said, when they take an X-ray, it isn't the light from a machine, it's the light of your body, and the X-ray drains the light, which is your vitality, your actual life. That's why people die from X-rays. I've had a lot of them. I got news for you. I'm on my fourth ring now, and I just may not die from 1,000 X-rays, because my mortal fourth ring is going to be subdued and overcome by God's own light of this word. And I just may go marching in. Standing on these 2 feet, which don't have many corns, but will have none when I get there. And my throat won't bother me when I scream the hosannas. And I'll feel so good. The fourth ring of light. Which diminishes, which means liberation. To go to your theophonic form, we might not even need it. I don't think that we will. Number 12, then heed what you hear. You are looking for the new year. This book is revealed by vindication is the book of your for your new year. No other person can honestly say that, but I say it for the living word of the living God has come to me. By me to you, the revelation of the hour. Many will make that claim, but they are not vindicated. Now listen to me. Place your lives and future in the hands of the God who vindicated himself to you as to his appearing and has vindicated his word through me to you. Now take the truth and march on with God, who is present with his truth. This indeed is Shalom. Page 39, the book of this for this year is the Bible. What Bible? What the Christian Science have? The Methodists have? The Seventh-day Adventists? Forget it. It's the light of the world. It's God himself. Our book of the year is the Bible. This for this 1964, for this 1989, our book is the Bible. All other years to come, our book is the Bible. Even in eternity. All the years have passed. It's been the book of the years past, the book of the years to come, the book of eternity. It reveals it is God. Yes, it reveals God every year that is to come. It's a book of the year. Whenever you hear the Bible say anything, it's a promise and it's vindicated. There will come an eternal someday. The Bible is the one, notice who gives it, doesn't call it for what? He makes it personal, the Bible. The seals were Christ revealed. The Bible is the one who gives us this promise. When you hear the Bible say that there's a coming day when Jesus will come, that's true. And I say now, I got to close because it's 2 hours. Look, if the Bible tells us these things that are to come, speaks of these hours that we pass through, the days of Noah are predicted, the days of all these others, the Scripture predicted, the days of Martin Luther were predicted, the days of Wesley predicted, the days of Pentecost are predicted, this hour that we're living in was predicted, everything happened just exactly as it was. Then what is it? It's the spoken word of God which is vindicated by God, makes the light of the hour. See, just like the sun is. When the word itself is the light when it's vindicated for the time that it belongs to, it is the sun to us when it's vindicated, not before. And even in vindication, the prophet has to explain it, see it's vindicated, then it's the light of the hour. And you know what hour you're living in then. John was the light, he was more light than Elijah, and others were Elijah. That others had more light even than Elijah, he's saying. John wasn't Elijah's light, but he was Elijah in another form, vindicating for the light. See, he was. And when Jesus came, he said he was a bright and shining light for a season. You love to walk in that light, see? And John said, now I must dim out. I must go now. My light's finished shining. I must go out. He must increase. He's the light. Brother Branham was speaking of his own demise. He said, you love John the Baptist, but I'm here to take over. So we love Brother Branham. We wanted his ministry. We said he can't leave us, but he did. Now Jesus has taken over. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Amen. Not Brother Branham. He was just a light pointing to it. That's right. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still the light of the world. And what is he? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Why was he the light of the world? If he'd come and said he was Messiah, and he didn't do like the Bible said the Messiah would do, then he wasn't the light of the world. See, it's vindicated. It's a vindicated Word that makes it the light of the world. That's true. Brother Branham fulfilled the Scripture of Elijah. But notice, when he literally was the Word fulfilled, as to Rhema became Logos, few saw it. When Jesus literally became Rhema and Logos, they didn't see it. And when Brother Branham literally became the Elijah of this hour, they couldn't see it. All right. And in this hour that we're living in now, the vindicated word of this hour, Pentecost, to say, speaking in tongues, so forth. That was the day of Pentecost. That was light of the hour then. That was okay back there, not now, see. He's the light of the hour today. What is it? That's the appearing. Okay. The seventh church age, all smothered out with God, with Christ on the outside, the moon in identifying it, all the darkness coming upon the earth, the light pressing in now, begins to show what's going to take place. The thing will be destroyed. The light will come in and destroy it. Why, light almost destroys darkness. Darkness can't see where light is. And the saints shall inherit the earth, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and the earth and the moon darkness will be taken away. The darkness of the night will pass away. The darkness with their death increase, and away from the word of God perverted these things that they're saying, and the light will break forth upon the day. How do you know? Because the word's been corrected. It's got to come to pass. Not just we be corrected, but when we're corrected, all nature becomes corrected. Romans 8 chapter. And remember, when the full Bible, listen in closing, when this full Bible has been thoroughly vindicated, then there'll be an eternal shalom, eternal peace. Now, when's the Bible thoroughly and completely vindicated? After the resurrection. Millennium. Don't even wait for the white throne. He came and he said he was peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the world didn't receive it, see? He was peace to everyone that came to him for peace, see? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. He was the peace. And he was the peace of that new year beginning, new day of God. For why? He was the vindicated light of the hour. So right today, he's saying the same thing. But there's more word to be vindicated. He's got to vindicate more word. And when the last word is vindicated, then death is swallowed up in victory. Now then, what's to be vindicated before that time? Well, you say, well, death swallowed up in victory. What's to come? Well, I tell you. The word to be vindicated before his coming, that is, before death is swallowed up and mortality gives way to immortality, we have read it many times in 1 Corinthians 15, which I won't take time to read now because they haven't got time. It's when he appears and puts the church in order. It wasn't in order when Brother Branham left. He couldn't even get him in a little room to put the gifts in there. but under the full headship of Christ the Word, and we're coming to it more and more. Don't you see it's more death to our understanding, our own word, our own ideas? Like this, remember, the Bible is the fountain of all wisdom and holds all hope for the future. To the church, shalom. Let us pray. The little group present here now have been 2 hours. This little New Year's message, you've been very patient. Is there one here this morning, this afternoon, rather, that doesn't have shalom, the peace of spoken of, that identified word of God when you and the word become one? Now, he says right there, you and the word become one is where you get that shalom. Now, he's telling us what happens and how it happens. And I read it in the 17th chapter of John last week. When the Bible says one thing, you say, no, I can hardly believe that. That's right. Then you haven't shalom. I remember I was there. I said, Brother Branham, I don't think I can believe that. Suddenly, when was he wrong? Now you come to the place where it's got to be right, because what else could be? If anything is right, this has to be right, because nothing comes to it. Look, my God, if I had a loaf of bread that had the light of the food in it, and everything else was an imitation, and I knew that everything else was a phony but one loaf of bread, because only one loaf of bread had any life in it, do you think I'm going to frig around with this lousy stuff out here that's this imitation? No, I want reality. Maybe it's the only thing that's got it. Maybe in that loaf of bread, there's only one little mouthful of life. Then give it to me. Peace, my God, I've got something. Don't disagree, he said. You're not at peace with God because his word says one thing and you disagree. You can't have that shalom. You can't have the shalom of 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, relaxation under the seventh seal. And if the word says shalom, peace, and you have that peace, that every word that God says, you can punctuate with an amen, and you believe it, according to what Brother Banner said. And when you see it vindicated, say, amen, that is the word. But does a creed, a light, a false light, the world sweep across in the shadow of the light that's being reflected to darken out, and some creed say, no, I think that was what something else, this means that. That's when their light becomes darkness, total darkness. Here and in the tapes, whoever listens to them. Think it over just a minute. And if there's one present here that would like, but that doesn't have that light, would you raise your hand to identify yourself that you're ready to walk in the light today? End time evangelism, what he's doing right there. That's end time evangelism. You want to win souls? You can't win them any other way. They've got to identify with this word to get the Holy Ghost. And it's word upon word until we're filled. All right. And there's one out in the land where this tape goes. You don't have it. Raise your hand. God's right there with you. Turn off your recorder just a moment. And when we pray, get down on your knees. Say, Lord God, I doubted. And I've done this. I thought that. Well, because the church said those things that couldn't be and this wouldn't be. But I see it's promised in the Bible. I see too many things. I also see many things, I think, what he means here. The heavens even declared itself, right there in the moon and all those things. And these things that are said are happening just exactly. And God in heaven is declaring the same thing, so I want to receive it now. Let the word of God come into me. Notice what he said, let the word of God come into me. And he's talking of a mental condition which has been brought on by spiritual perception from the seed in you that says that's got to be right. You can't prove nothing, you don't care to. But let me tell you something. Brother Branham increasingly used the word science, and he said science. Science means knowledge. Now, so I want to receive it now. Let the word come into me, and let me get into the rhythm of not listening what the church or the preacher says, but let me get in the rhythm of the word and see what it says. Let me let it bring it to me in this great symphony of God beating out his will in my life. Aha! What's the will of God in your life? Make the rapture. How's it going to be done? Through the word. Our Heavenly Father, we now bring to you every hand that's up everywhere. Let the Holy Ghost of God bring to them the rhythm of the word and his truth, that they are to be molded now into sons and daughters of God, and are to be reflecting of the light of God upon the earth. And that's, now you get there, is when you get where the little songs you sing about Israel. Let's dance. The leaves of the trees clap their hands. Everybody does it. They are to be manifested word. Amen. That men and women are to live the way Jesus lived, and to believe every word of God and live by it like he did. For he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, how did Jesus live? When Satan came and says, I tell you what. He said, make those stones bread. If you're the Son of God, you've got your due because you're hungry. Ha ha, he said, Satan, let me tell you. Man shall not live by bread alone. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, he just stood there and did nothing. He just quoted the word. Satan said, now just a minute, let me tell you something. If you're such a man you are, climb that temple up there, and you jump yourself down, and you won't splatter, because the angel will lift you up. And he said, I'll tell you what, you do that, you'll prove you're son of God. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Didn't do one thing, just stood there and spoke the word. And Satan said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you fall down and worship me. I recognize you've got something. I believe you're that one. He said, I'll give it all to you. He said, shut up and sit down. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. He only stood there with his revelation. Do you understand what I'm saying, brother, sister? The passive faith, not your active faith. You've been doing yourselves to death. Some even run around, try to follow this man and that man. You try to follow me, I'll kill you dead with a 4x4. Get with this word, as I'm trying to get with it. Amen. Won't you follow some man? You follow the word of God. I've told you exactly what it says here. I haven't held back one thing from you. Jesus stood there in his great passive faith. How did Brother Branham have active faith? How could he stand and say, I challenge the armies of the world to shoot me down? God tells me to raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead by vision. I'll stand there, and if I can't raise him, you shoot me down. How did he have it? Because he had a passive faith. There is his passive faith. Looking right at the pillar of fire, there is his passive faith with seven angels. Bought him as the Holy Ghost. There he was. You and I get our eyes on God and filled with his word. That active faith will come out. Brother, sister, there's too much talk of an active faith. And there's no passive faith to build up. There's no real revelation. When Brother Branham himself said, faith is a revelation. He tried to run around and heal the sick. It's not given to everybody. Try to this, try to do. That's not given to everybody. I'll tell you what's given. The bread has been given. Now people want to eat the wrapper and throw away the bread. The word of Moses did. Moses' time did not work in the days of Jesus' time. The word in the days of the apostle does not work in this day. Ha ha! The word in the days of the apostle cannot work in this day. Certainly not. The wheat's in. It's ripening. Listen, you build a house. You start with the foundation. You only have foundation when you come to the top. You just build and build from the cornerstone until the capstone comes down. And every age is another portion of the Word of God. You can't have the apostles. Won't work. You got a prophet. It's a promised word for this day. They said themselves, and spoken by the Holy Ghost will take place in the last day. In the last day, Peter said, before must be prepared upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, and my sons and my daughters. Two different groups of people. All anointed with the Holy Ghost. Just before the great flood tide of the great tribulation, and Elijah would come, and he'd clarify who had the Holy Ghost and who didn't. Well, it says so in Acts, the third chapter. I read it many, many times. Started verse 19 in the middle of it. He spoke by the Holy Ghost. Don't be heady and high-minded. How the church would be heady, high-minded, the word rise up, the heart would be right with her. That John said that. Peter said the same thing. The last church age of Laodicea, Jesus would be completely taken from the church. Now he says in 261, and we're hurrying very rapidly here, oh Lord, let me stay with him the word. Rhema and Logos, one and the same. Get your guy that got running around that lives below Chicago in Illinois. He tells you, be careful about Rhema, be careful about Logos, and I'm telling you, don't be careful. Give yourself over to the Rhema, because it was written in a book before it became flesh. And it was written in God before God manifested in flesh. Rhema and Logos is one and the same. Anybody try to tell you some stupid idea? The Jews understand this. The prophet understood it. Certainly. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you understand it. If you want to preach a different gospel than the prophet, you won't understand it. If you want to ride in these coattails and say, I'll believe the prophet, well, I believe the prophet. And then you want to make a P-R-O-F-I off of it. You want to mess up widows and orphans, everything else. I've seen them do it. Take away people's homes, you can't get them out. I've got a bone to pick with these preachers. I'll stand in the white throne judgment, brother, sister, and I ain't nobody. I'm nobody. Brother Branham rightly said, he said, he's too quick on the draw. Then he tried to be nice by saying, well, it's because he knows the word. Hogwash, I know the word. I'm quick on the draw. Whatever bothered any of you? Tell me. Oh, use it against me. Go ahead, preachers, do. Come on. Lee, you're not a pastor. You could take up the wheat and the tares. You could rip up some tares. What have ripped you up? This church has been solid like you've never been solid. Prophet said you better settle down. Work out of a place. I never led you astray. You know, brother, sister, what happened in the days of that judge Gideon when God revealed himself as Shalom? He said, the fire came out of the rock. Fire cleansing Holy Ghost comes out of this Bible. Don't you tell me any different, so this is just some plain book. Yeah, you missed the prophet a million miles. You sit here, you don't know what you're talking about. Listen, brothers and sisters, time we lived in the same enthusiasm Brother Branham lived in. He took his from the pulpit to the congregation. I stand ever thoroughly enthused under anointing, and I look when I get up. I can lose this thing here, too. I can lose it. Sorry, but notice it comes back in the pulpit. I'm not lying to you. Lord, let me stay with him, the word, and manifest his light, vindication, through all of us as we set forth in the new year with determination. Now he said, let me be the one illuminating. They picking up the light, reflecting what I say, coming more and more to that place. As he told Hickerson, and I say it 1,000,000,000 times, I'll say to God, let me. He said, Hick, I'm up here, you're down here. But he said, when I'm gone, you'll be up there. We don't become prophets. We don't take the place of prophet. We become little prophetess or something like that because we believe the same word. Say the same thing, that's all. Now, not knowing what this new year holds, but we're holding to him the word. Notice. If that's not Rhema and Logos, one and the same, you tell me what it is. Yet there's preachers north of me and south of me and all around will take that man on your pulpit. You see why this pulpit's closed to very few men? Some man get in here and preach some wrong thing, you grab it, I'm responsible. I will eat my words, brother, sister. And if they're God's words, they'll be honey from the rock. If they're my words, they'll be ashes and grit in my teeth. No. We don't know what the new year holds, but we're holding him the word. He that knows the whole symphony from the beginning to the end. He knows every move and every junction. And Lord, we're just watching him, keeping our eyes on him, the word. Then when we see these things appear, we know they're right in the rhythm of the word. Grant this prayer to us, Lord, that we keep this position. That's what he's saying. Save every lost soul, Lord, that's here, and everyone that hears the tape. We commit them to thee for thy kingdom's sake. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Brother, sister, whether we get it or not, it's for us. I'll stand up here and tell you the truth. I may miss this a million miles of getting what I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you, I know what he's saying. And I'll say what the prophet, he said many times, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And if we don't get this piece, let me tell you something. Somebody's going to get it. And they're going to get it the way the prophet said it. Are you all raising families? Like we raised the family, or we drug them up or something. Either you'll make that child in your mold, which would be too bad and too terrible. Or you can make them in the mold of Jesus Christ the best you can. It may not work by using the Word of God. But people have a way of not wanting to be molded until they really hit the hard parts and the bottoms out, and they say, well, even though Ma and Pa did this or something else, I'm the one that's being the stupid fool. I better shape up. That's what I think the squeeze might do for us. Pressure come on down. At this point, we haven't had any. I got a little jangle of nerves and pressure. My arthritis gets me day and night. Right now, I'm great. See, as long as I preach enough, I've got enough word. Bless God, knock the arthritis on the head. Then when I leave here, I let my word go, and the arthritis, you know, friggles around a bit. Sure. I'll go out here, and I'll forget almost my name. I'll get them in a block up here. You notice I don't get them. And I'm 75 right around the corner. A lot of you at 55 can't do that. A lot of people younger. I can't either. Up here's a different story. See, the inlets are open to the soul. And you folk are so nice, you just keep the channels all clear for me. But you know something? The more you take and give back, the more it's going to get greater and greater until one day the great one takes over completely. There won't be one sick and feeble. There won't be one with bad eyesight. There won't be one who couldn't walk through that wall without even thinking about it. You won't do it, I'm sure, but you could. Your vibration is faster and more powerful than light. Where light can't go through rock, a spirit can. Jesus went right through the wall. Brother Brand said, you'll travel like the speed of thought. There we are. He gave us peace. Such peace the man had, he knew the day his life would start to be taken. And he went down the road to fill a final destiny, where God would take maybe, I don't know, the greatest prophet God ever sent to this earth and treat him like a John the Baptist. Except a sword took off John's head. But a wound in the head destroyed Brother Branham. Man said to me, Lee, he said, God doesn't smear his prophets across the road. I said, he fed them to lions. And they were strung as dung across the field. Don't tell me. That ended our friendship. Am I sorry? You gotta be kidding. You gotta be kidding, brother, sister. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness with one little change. If you don't believe the word, it doesn't avail. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the time we've had in these series. 25, maybe question and answers, make it 26. But it's been wonderful, Lord, like almost 25 years the prophet's gone. Something like he said, bring me 25, might have been 24. I think 25 of your worst case is guaranteed healing for all. So, Lord, here we are finishing on a high note of what's in this great message, Father. And I know there may not be one of us here altogether got enough to have this great peace. But I know, Lord, in this message there is enough for every single person in eventually. For as we take this word and stand on vindication, Lord, and know it's a vindicated word, staying with it, that is going to come because it is going to be the Holy Ghost manifesting in this peace. We know that to be true. Far beyond the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, yes, far beyond. Far beyond that. This is that life in the Word. Now, Father, grant again, we pray, as the prophet prayed, there will not be one feeble amongst us. But there will be that sweet Spirit of Christ come more and more into this place, Lord, and into every place that holds up this truth, O God, which is vindicated. Until there won't be one sick person, Lee, in the building. And, Lord, sickness fading more and more. And that light, Lord, that the prophet and everybody knows, they've had camera shots. They know it. That light fades. But this light isn't going to fade. The bruised reed, he isn't going to break. Our bodies will not crumble in dust. The smoking flax, that last little circle of light, isn't going to go out. But there's going to be a bride walking around here immortal. I don't know if it's going to be we as the people here, Lord. That's not really what matters. We could go on. What matters, Lord, right now is the fact that we're claiming this word to take us right over into the millennium in a very few years, if we do go to the other side, to come back here and be a part of the glory which you wanted for us in the beginning and now finally achieving. So bless your people, Lord. May they have a good spirit of grace and glory rest upon them. May we all rise and shine with the light and life that is from you, Lord. And may we love you by loving others. And may we serve you by serving others. And may we go marching on together in faith, helping each other, provoking unto acts of love, and all those things we should have at this time until we meet our loved ones immortal and we become immortal and go to the wedding supper. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the one amongst us now, unto him be honor, glory, forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.